a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yeah, thanks to Tina Gates there for the weather update, should I say. We have our full spotlights on in the studio, Nathan, and our window blind is open, and it's very dark and rainy and windy and horrible out, really, and this storm, Ciara, has well and truly arrived.
Yes, and I'd say if you are looking to budge out on a Sunday morning, best bring a brolly.
Yeah, bring a brolly, bring a coat, bring anything else you can, or just stay in your warm house, and that's what I'll be doing for the afternoon, watching all the sport. Hopefully most of it happens with the storm. There are some games off, which we'll tell you about in a few moments' time, but you're very welcome to the That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98FM. It's 2 wins from 2 for Ireland in the Six Nations. Coach Andy Farrell, Ian Henderson, Max Deegan, and this man Johnny Sexton will be here.
It was brilliant. It had a bit of everything.
Shane Byrne, the ladies and the under-20s will be on the agenda as well. The Dubs left it late to get a point at Croker last night. Manager Desi Farrell will chat to 98FM.
We'll be looking for more of the second and less of the first.
98FM's League of Ireland Sunday returns as well. The greatest league in the world is back this Friday with the Premier Division kick-off, and we'll hear from men from all four Premier Division clubs. Shamrock Rovers captain Ronan Finn, St. Pat's captain Ian Birmingham, Danny Grant of Bohemians, and Kieran Kilduff of Shelburne. And of course, our chat with a straight talk James McLean.
How he can command the dressing room with
let
players.
Let me stop you there, Stephen. Command the dressing room. Don't. Right. Stephen's nobody's fault.
Let's get 98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport underway.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Now, Nathan, first up, it is the Six Nations and 2 wins from 2 for Andy Farrell in Ireland.
Yes, they beat Wales yesterday at the Aviva Stadium. The Grand Slam champions hadn't lost in the competition since the 37-27 defeat at the same venue 2 years ago. But again, Ireland proved to be their undoing. Jordan Larmour with his dancing feet broke 4 tackles to crash over in 21 minutes before Thomas Williams equalised 6 minutes later, with Lee Halfpenny's kick giving them the lead. Tadhg Furlong blasted his way over the whitewash to restore Ireland's lead soon after, with Josh van der Vleer and Andrew Conway adding 2 more in the second half as Ireland ran out 24-14 winners there.
Yes, now the Ireland coach and his captain Johnny Sexton were delighted men after yesterday's bonus point win.
Look, it was an improved performance. The start was the complete reverse, wasn't it, to last week. I thought Scotland attacked really well and we was a little bit passive at the start of the game last week, and they got a foothold into the game, and I thought we did exactly that in the first half, so that was pleasing. I suppose the baseline was from our point of view to make sure that we're nice and physical for the full 80 minutes. I thought there were some enrolling moments last week, especially in those moments that we had to dig deep to win the game. But I thought we got that 100% across the 80 minutes today. I thought it was excellent. You know, we was going forward in defence and attack.
It was brilliant. It had a bit of everything. It had some of the stuff that we had spoke about last week that we didn't sort of get to put out there against Scotland. You know, when you get the ball in our back three's hands, you know, something can happen, and they showed that, and they stuck to the tactics really well. In terms of, you know, when we got on the edge, the temptation always is to run, but they got us to field position at times brilliantly, and you know, some of our shape stuff was really good, what we've been working on. So and we won. That's the most important thing for us, is winning, and we're building momentum now, but obviously our biggest challenge is ahead now in a couple of weeks' time.
Ireland's Ian Henderson says his team wanted to improve on last weekend's performance. After that unconvincing win against Scotland, things did improve.
Yeah, after last week we were happy to get the win. We knew it was a building block, and again today a few things didn't go right for us, but again another step in the right direction, and we'll use this as a building block to sort of leapfrog ourselves into a game in 2 weeks. The quality we see in training throughout the week, and quality that we see guys producing for their provinces, we know it's there, and forms one of those elusive things in sport that no one can really explain, but when you get it right, it feels great playing out there. It feels great playing amongst guys who are excited to do things, excited to make things happen, and that happened today. But hopefully as this tournament goes on, we can bring more and more of that.
Now, Leinster's Max Deegan made his Ireland debut yesterday, and he told our Will O'Callaghan How it felt?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, yeah. You know, they're the best kind of atmospheres you want in the changing room after a good win against top sides, you know, semi-finalists. So we're just delighted. Yeah, no, we're looking forward to kind of winding down now and enjoying tonight.
Did you many of your family here watching today?
Yeah, almost all of them are here. Yeah, so no, great occasion. I'm delighted. Yeah.
It's one you're always going to remember. Because in the game, to try and get more game time during the race.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's the first step there done. So no, just keep trying to get in here week on week. And yeah, trying to get as many performances as I can.
Ireland in 2 weeks' time, Sunday week, travelling to Twickenham to face England, Nathan, with a triple crown on the line. And, you know, like, imagine going to Twickenham in the third game and already clinching a triple crown. Well, that's what Ireland can do on Sunday week. And we'll hear now how they plan to do it. Johnny Sexton and Andy Farrell.
We'll enjoy tonight. We will. We've had a couple of weeks together, and there's a lot of learnings. That needs to be had, and I think we're in a great place. We've had two wins. We said it wasn't the brilliant performance that we was all looking for last week, but we had a great week's preparation. Good honest feedback from the boys, and we saw an improved performance today. But we know the boys sat there in the changing room know after a bonus point win, there's still plenty more in us, and that's what we'll be looking forward to over these next 3 days.
Wales are Grand Slam champions, World Cup semi-finalists for a reason. They're a top quality team, and they're hard to play against. So yeah, we're going to have to be up there like we were today, but it's away from home, and it's against a team that, you know, World Cup finalists, and we'll be hurting from last week. And I don't know, obviously we don't know what's going to happen today, but top quality side, and the last two times we played England, they've given us a right old spanking. So we need to up our game from those level of performances. And yeah, it's a tough place to go, Twickenham. We haven't had too many victories there over the years, and it'll be no different now coming into this game. It's a tough place to go.
Yeah, mouth-watering already for that game, Ireland against England at Twickenham on Sunday week. Now, hopefully Shane Byrne can hear us. Shane, are you there, sir?
I'm well, and yourself?
Great, Shane. Thanks a million for having a chat with us. So, two wins from two for Ireland. What's your thoughts on Ireland's latest victory at the Aviva yesterday?
Yeah, good. It was almost a big sigh of relief and go, that's better. That's a lot better, lads. You know, that's what we expect from this team. You know, 2019 wasn't the best year, wasn't the best performances. We all remember the massive highs we had in 2018. And really, that was harking back to there. We're a long way from being perfect, a long way from where we know this side can be. But that was so much better. It was a thinking game. They were using their heads. They were managing the weather. They were getting around. Wales finding ways to get through the defence. Johnny Sexton kicking them back into the corner, you know, keeping them under pressure. And there was so much more aggression in the tackle at ruck time. And that's one of the main things that we wanted to see, was that aggression. Because if Wales had got their tails up at all, and we saw just, 10, 15 minutes into the second half, that Wales did, they were well capable of getting over that line. Thankfully, it didn't happen. But that was something that Ireland dealt with right throughout the game. So, yeah, so much better.
And Shane, I know every, you know, sports coach in the world talks about they want performance, 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 but they also want wins. And if Andy Farrell could have written down on paper what he wanted from his first two games at home with England to come at Twickenham, he would have written down two wins, and that's what his team have done.
Yeah, like it's hard to think about it, that we're going for the Triple Crown, you know, against England, which is absolutely fantastic position to be in. Honestly, I didn't think silverware could be on the plate this year at all. England not exactly going well at all so far in the Six Nations. So there's a genuine opportunity here to have a go with the Triple Crown, which is fantastic. It's really a tradition, a transition time, should I say. And the team are settling. It really, that was a huge sign. I think Johnny Sexton, the captaincy armband, I think it was his best performance, which I know we haven't seen too much of him as captain. But some of his interactions with Romain Foix, who was an absolute pain of a ref, he'll drive you mad even just watching the game. But he managed to talk his way around into good situations that we needed to get the ref to look at. The ruck being the main bit where Wales were offside pretty much the whole day long. And so many boxes tick. CJ Stander, again, absolutely awesome. In fact, the whole back row were super competitive right throughout the game. I would have given Man the Match to Andrew Conway. I thought he was superb again. Henshaw, so many players deserve. Tadhg Furlong deserves an absolutely massive, massive mention. But that's what it is. That's what it needs to be. We need to have games like that. We're not a good enough side yet that we can take the foot off the pedal a bit. The foot has to be well and truly down on the accelerator all the time for this side to perform. And it certainly was there yesterday.
And Shane, lastly, Sunday week, the 23rd of February, 3 p.m. at Twickenham, England v Ireland in the Six Nations, with two wins from two for Ireland. England, of course, won yesterday, lost their opening game as well. What words come to mind when thinking of what's ahead in a couple of weeks' time?
It's Ireland have the momentum. There's no doubt about that. Eddie Jones and all his discussion about this huge physical side that he wants to create isn't happening, and it's not happening in style. You know, the weather was atrocious for them yesterday, but the simple fact is they're not performing. So Ireland can go over there with superb opportunity, knowing that if they play anywhere like what they can hit, they could come back with a bit of silverware.
Great stuff, Shane Byrne, as always. Thanks a million. Speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Take care.
And the other game in the Six Nations today is France against Italy. That kicks off at 3 o'clock. Nathan, their under-20s are also two wins from two after their start.
Yes, they scored five tries in Cork as they made it two wins from two with a 36-22 bonus point win over Wales in the under-26 Nations. Mark Kernan, Dan Kelly, Lewis Finlay and Andrew Smith all crossed the whitewash. Elsewhere, England beat Scotland 21-17 and France battled back to overcome Italy 31-19. Of course, there's a 1 week break and next up is a trip to Franklin's Gardens to face England, who have also got two wins from their opening two games. That's on the 21st of February.
Now, the Ireland ladies as well beat Scotland last weekend, Nathan, at Energia Park.
Yes, it was a hard fought 18-14 win for the Irish, and they were found themselves 13-0 up after 15 minutes tries from Cleona Maloney and Sene Napu. Scotland rallied and battered the Irish defence after that, with Lisa Thompson crossing the whitewash herself. The away side continued to press, but Bevan Parsons intercepted a pass on her own try line before running the length of the field to secure the win. Elsewhere, France recorded a 45-10 victory over Italy, and of course Scotland face England today at 12:20 p.m. at Scotstown. That is of course before Ireland play Wales at Energia Park in Donnybrook. Kickoff there is 1 p.m. today.
Yes, and Irish Rugby an hour ago tweeted a preview of that match. So that game at the moment is still on as well, with the Storm Ciara on. We'll give you some news on some other sporting fixtures that are off this weekend in a few moments' time. But let's preview that game, Ireland against Wales at Energia Park. The Ireland coach Adam Griggs, debutant from last weekend Claire Keohane and Annika Pleese have been telling Irish Rugby TV about that Scotland win and today's match against Wales.
Yeah, look, it's a start. We said we wanted a result. We said we'll be happily to win ugly, and I think a lot of the times it was probably that, but so much to build on, and I guess you can see the potential in our play, and we've just got to make sure that we can keep backing that up time and time again with repeat efforts.
Claire, congratulations first of all, your first cap last weekend. Delighted?
Yeah, thanks very much. It was a great day. I think it can be a little bit overwhelming, but we had a fantastic day, and you know, it was great to get the win and kind of have that memory as your first win at home and your first cap. So I'm delighted to get it done, and I suppose for my family as well, it was a huge day for them. You kind of forget that it's as much about them as it is about you, and a really great day. So
looking forward to this weekend then against Wales. What are you hoping for?
Well, obviously we're hoping to come away with a good performance. You know, I suppose for us it's very much about building on last weekend, and you know we took some good confidence in last weekend and did some great passages of play. We had a particularly good passage in that first half, and I think for us coming into camp now today, we're just excited to build on that.
Next Sunday against Wales, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a really tough game. We've played Wales a lot, and I got an extra shot at them as well with the Barbarians this year, so know Wales pretty well. They always pull a performance out of the bag when they come to Dublin. So we're really excited to build on last week. Like we say, keep doing right what we've done right so far, and just tighten the screws on a few more things, and it's going to be a really exciting week for us. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, looking ahead to that game later on today, Ireland against Wales at Energia Park at 1 o'clock, and there's a full preview on offtheball.com right now. Competition time on the That's What I Call Sport. We've got two pairs of tickets to give away as the Ireland women's national team face Greece in a huge European qualifier this March 5th at 7:15pm. Come join us at the first senior international of the year, Tallaght Stadium, with great fun for all the family. If you'd like to be there, you got to text or WhatsApp "Come on you girls in green" plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's "Come on you girls in green" plus your name and where you are, and text or WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98 for a chance to see Vera Pauw's Chargers take on Greece on the road to Euro 2021 in England. Tickets from just a tenner on fai.ie/tickets. On the way after the break, another dramatic night for the Dubs at Croker, 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday, and our chat with James McLean.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
You are very welcome back, Nathan. A thrilling game at Croke Park last night for the Dublin Footballers against Monaghan. 9 minutes of injury time, or 10 minutes again, and this time, unlike last weekend when Kerry equalised in like the 90 minute of injury time against Dublin, this time it was the Dubs against Monaghan, and they were so bad in the first half.
Yeah, well, a game of two halves has never been more prevalent. Monaghan scored a goal inside 1 minute thanks to Conor McManus, and it stood 1-9 to 3 points at half time. Dublin kept plugging away, and on the 70th minute mark, obviously they improved hugely in that time, but Kevin McManahan, that man again, with a brilliant poacher's goal. The score stood 112 to 115 in the 70th minute, 6 minutes of injury time announced, and in the 9th minute of injury time the score sat 114 to 115, and in the 10th minute of injury time fullback Davey Bourne floated a wonderful point to level proceedings. Dramatic, to say the least.
Yes, Oisín Langan has been chatting to the Dublin manager.
Desi Farrell, Dublin manager, considering you were, I think, 10 points down at one stage, it was at the very least 9, does getting a draw out of that game kind of feel like getting a win?
Yeah, you could look at it from that perspective. I think just getting the result, we were very, very happy with. Ultimately, we weren't good in the first half. It was very, very poor performance, and we just wanted to be much more competitive in the second half. And to be fair to the players, they showed great character and the hunger and desire to drive on in that second half and make a game of it, and ultimately eke out a point.
Why weren't you good in the first half?
It's hard to put your finger on that. Just we were sort of a bit ponderous, sort of slow, not really getting to the pitch of it. Just tempo wasn't good, and we struggled. But second half, intensity much better. Chalk and cheese, really, from that perspective. So we'll be looking for more of the second and less of the first.
You brought on Paul Mannion at half time. How much of a difference did he make? Just getting that bit of experience out there. I mean, right from the start of the second half, the intensity seemed to be up.
Yeah, I think all the substitutions we made had an impact, and we had to go to the bench early. I think we had maxed out in terms of subs pretty early in that second half as well, you know. So, but look at everyone did their best, and as I say, we were very competitive, and that's all we can ask for in that second half. That fellas went after it, and they did that, and we got a point.
Yeah, and how pleasing as a manager is that for you? Because I mean, you can shout at them or talk calmly to them or whatever way you talk to them at half time, you can do all of that, but ultimately they have to do it themselves, and they did. Is that really pleasing for you to see them do that, correct it themselves?
Yeah, and again, it comes down to the desire and the want, and you know, for a team that's been as successful as they have, I think it's a measure of their character to be able to turn in a second half performance like that when all signs were on it was going to be a tough day at the office for us.
That is Desi Farrell, the Dublin football manager, speaking to Oisín Langan. Nathan, it was a Dubs doubleheader at Croker yesterday. The ladies on before, and not the result they wanted.
No, the All-Ireland champions took on the league champions. Dublin, of course, faced off against Cork. Carla Rowe bagged 1-2 for the Sky Blues, but it was Cork who came away the happier side with an 8-1-4 victory. Cork now sit top of the National Football League table with 3 wins from 3, while Mick Bowen's side are second with a win, a draw and a loss. Now, elsewhere, the Camogie, of course, they were meant to be in action in Tipperary today at RAG. Throw-in was meant to be 2 o'clock there, but due to storm cleared thanks to pitch inspections, the match is now off.
Yes, and lots of sports as well. You can check offtheball.com, the best place to check on what's on and what's off, or on 98FM news updates, which of course we'll be bringing you all the stuff from the election as well. The counts have begun at 9 o'clock this morning as well, and reports of a three-way split in votes and so on and so forth. So a fascinating day ahead, and all the best coverage will be on 98FM news from 10 o'clock with Brendan.
League of Ireland on 98FM.
Yeah, the best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League, which the Premier Division returns this coming Friday, Nathan. But we have a little game to whet the appetite today. The top two teams in the country in action in the Michael D. Higgins President's Cup.
Yes, it's a repeat of the Extra.ie FAO Cup final. Dundalk take on Shamrock Rovers. That is, of course, kick-off there at 3 p.m. at Oriel Park.
Yeah, let's preview the Premier games now with the four clubs in Dublin in a moment. St. Pat's Bohemians in Shelburne. Our Will O'Callaghan was at the launch at the National Sports Campus during the week and chatted firstly to the Shamrock Rovers skipper, Mr. Ronan Finn.
Yeah, pre-season's gone really well for us at this stage. I'm just looking forward to your first competitive game. Sunday we'll bring that in the President's Cup, and then all eyes are on Dalymount.
Last competitive game, of course, at the Aviva Stadium, finally getting your hands on the cup for the first time in three decades. What was it like to finally end that run and to get that piece of silverware?
Yeah, it was, listen, for the club it was massive, for the supporters, for us as a group of players and management staff it was huge, but it's gone now, you know. New season, we've got new targets, and we know what we're we've worked really hard pre-season, we know what we have to do.
The target seems extremely obvious in the league, to go one step further up the ladder.
Yeah, of course, listen, Dundalk have been, you know, very good the last few years, and they're going to be challenging again, but we need to be right up there. We've prepared really well in pre-season, managers, you know, recruited really well. But there's more to offer from us, you know. We're a group that's grown, and obviously the next level is stepping above Dundalk and winning the league. But there's also a lot of other challenges there that we have to be wary of, and we know what we have to do.
Do you look back with any regrets on the great position you were in a few months into the season last year, where Dundalk were very much having to play catch up, that you didn't in the end become Airtricity League champions?
No, listen, I mean, that's gone now. I mean, as a player, you look forward. Like I said, pre-season's gone really well for us. But, I mean, listen, we're FAO Cup champions from last year. That will give us a bit of confidence now going into the new year. As a group, you know, the manager, like I said, he's guided us. We're doing really well in pre-season. And all eyes are on Sunday for President's Cup.
It's not going to be on Valentine's night, but Valentine's weekend, you kick the season off against your great rivals, Bohemians.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting game for us to look forward to. We've had good battles with them over the years, and listen, you get nothing easy in Dalymount. They've beaten us there last season, we've beaten them. So it's going to be a tough game. Listen, we'll prepare really well for that when it comes round to it.
You went through a long period of not being able to get one over on Bows, late equalisers, late winners and so on, but at least you got to end that run last season.
Yeah, the last two results, we beat them. We beat them in Tallinn, then we beat them in Dalymount. So for us, that's gone. You know what I mean? That, you know, monkey is off our back. You know, we'll treat the game as we would, because it's a very, very difficult venue to go to. We're under no illusions about that. And we won't be going in there overconfident. We'll treat Bows with massive amount of respect, because they've, you know, had a really good season last year. And we'll take nothing for granted there. We had to work really, really hard to get the points out from Bohemians.
That is the Shamrock Rovers captain Ronan Finn speaking to Will O'Callaghan at the League of Ireland launch during the week. So from Ronan Finn to a captain from across the city, it's St. Pat's in Birmingham.
St. Pat's last season, you weren't too far off in terms of the chase with the top two, but the top two do set a hell of a standard.
Yeah, listen, they're the two to be caught. But look, we're just trying to improve on last season. We've been kind of struggling the last number of years, and we haven't got into Europe. And I think we've just got to be better than we were last year. And that starts next Friday. So listen, we've got to try and hit the ground running and pick up a big win against Waterford.
Does it feel like there is a freshness given the coaching changes, given the, I think, four or five players who've come in now as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody feels re-energized, refreshed, and as I said, the ideas Stephen's bringing in, it's really exciting. I'm really enjoying it. All the lads are really enjoying it, and look, we're raring to go. We can't wait to get going now, and hopefully everybody will see the best of us this season.
I suppose, given last season, you look back at the way the league fell, obviously the top two ran away a little bit, and then eventually Dundalk overall, Shamrock Rovers to win the league, but very little kind of in the next four to five teams in the league. You're all very close to each other, not just in terms of points total, but in terms of maybe the standard of the team as well.
Yeah, I think last season, I think we had a lot of quality last season. We had a lot of really, really good players, and for whatever reason, for one reason or another, we didn't click, and we didn't fulfil our potential, to be honest with you. Like last season, we should have been well up there challenging, but we weren't, as I said, for one reason or another. But no, there's not a lot of difference in the teams, but as I said, Rovers and the Dogs set the standard now, so it's up to the rest of the team to kind of catch up.
You've almost given away what the key is for this season when you said landing outside the European places was seen as a disappointment. That's where you want to be this year.
Yeah, but as I said, we finished fifth last year. We just want to improve on that, and that's the aim for us. We want to improve on that, and we do want to go back into Europe, but as I said, first and foremost, it's just to improve on last season. And if we do that, we'll give ourselves a right chance.
Do you get excited by days like today, mixing around with the other players and knowing the league is just a couple of weeks away?
Yeah, definitely. There's always an excitement. I think everybody can't wait for the season to go. They all think they've had everybody thinks they've had a great pre-season, but it's only when you step over the white line on next Friday that you'll know where you're kind of at. As I said, we're raring to go. We've had a really good pre-season, as they'll all tell you. But no, we have, and we're looking forward to getting going against Waterford for next Friday.
St. Pat's captain Ian Birmingham there with Will O'Callaghan. St. Pat's looking forward to the new season. We'll have all the fixtures in just a moment, but continuing our chat with the four Dublin Premier clubs, of course, as a Dublin radio station. And Bowes are back in Europe. Here's their winger, Danny Grant.
Back into Europe on the back of what was, I think, a pretty good 2019 campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, pushing on and enjoying that European challenge as well. So it should be a good year.
And given as well, you weren't too far away from the top two last season, the hope would be to try and challenge towards the title places this year.
Yeah, in a way, but you know, there's still a gap to bridge. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we did finish over 20 points off Dundalk and 15 off Rovers, but you know, they're probably being considered the big two in the league at the moment. And so I think everybody, including the likes of Pat Sterry and all that, will want to close the gap as well. So hopefully we can do it.
In terms of getting back into Europe, how big is that for the club? Because we had Pender talking to us at the end of the season. He was saying, look, it was massive for him to be able to leave the jersey in a better place and all that. But for you guys to look forward to these Europa League qualifiers, how big is it for you?
Yeah, it's big. It's massive for the club, isn't it? The club belongs in around them European spots and at the top of the table, so, and financially as well, you know, it's obviously great for the club, and hopefully we can put in a good performance and try to get through and go as far as we can in the European qualifiers.
For you on a personal level, you want to just carry on your form from last season, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, I picked up an injury and then came back, and I kind of done well when I came back, so I was happy with where I was going. Hopefully I can just pick up where I left off and keep on going in that direction.
Shan Ronan Finn earlier, he was saying it's the perfect fixture to kick off the season. It was meant to be opening night, the Friday night's moved to Saturday. I don't know how you feel about that, but to be playing your great rivals on the first weekend must sharpen the mind.
Yeah, you can't really beat it. We can't ask for much more. You know, that game is the biggest game in Irish football. Everybody, I think, knows that. And what more could you ask for, you know, to kick off the season? So hopefully we can get it off the winning ways and put in a good performance, and hopefully we kick on from there.
Is it a pity it's not on the Friday night, or is that good news for the girlfriend, or how does it work out?
No, there's no girlfriend, so. But, you know, me, I'd rather it be on the Friday night myself. I think everybody would. You know, you can't beat the Friday nights in Ireland. They've kind of become just a thing that everybody looks forward to. But at the end of the day, it's a game of football, so it doesn't really matter what day it is on.
It's a cracking rivalry. You had a good couple of years where Shamrock Rovers couldn't beat you, and then they got two wins at the end of the season, including that cup game. So you're due a win back now.
Yeah, I think it's hopefully we can bring it back our way. You know, we kept, I think, 7 or 8 games. We went unbeaten against them, and now it's kind of, they've won a few, so hopefully we can bring it back and get back to winning ways against Rovers.
How tricky is it to try and close the gap to the top two then?
I think very tricky. It's going to require a lot of hard work. We've talked about it. Rovers are, you know, if we don't even look at Dundalk, just look at Rovers for now, because they're the next one up from us. You know, that's a big gap. 15 points is a big gap to close, and we know how good Rovers are, we know how good Dundalk are as well, and it's going to be tricky, and everybody's going to have to work hard and buy into what we want to do if we're going to, you know, try and close the gap.
You're on 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday here on That's What I Call Sport, previewing the return of the greatest league in the world. The SSE Airtricity League is back this Friday with 4 games in the Premier Division and 1 game on Saturday, and the other 4 games taking place on Friday. We've heard from Shamrock Rovers, St. Pat's and Bohemians, and now it's time for Shelburne, back in the big time, back in the Premier Division, and a man who helped fire them there is striker Kieran Kilduff.
Kieran, looking forward to getting back into the Premier Division. Must be exciting.
It really is. You know, it's days like today that kind of get you excited again. You know, you see the new jerseys and the trophies and stuff like that, so the launch is really kind of the start of it, and you know, a few big games to start us off as well, away in Turner's Cross and then home to Dundalk. So yeah, it's kind of exciting time and great to be back in Premier Division football.
Ian was saying when he signed the contract a few weeks ago that it's not just about staying up this year, he wants Shelburne to want a bit more than that.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we want to be competitive this year. We're not here to make up the numbers. I think, you know, maybe in previous campaigns. Shells have got promoted and then, you know, kind of fought relegation scraps and maybe even went back down a few times. So I think they've worked so hard this time to get up. They're making sure that it's for keeps this time. They want to be back to where they belong. And Shelburne are a club steeped in history and they, you know, should be a Premier Division club. I remember when I started off my career coming in, when Shelburne were having those European nights and the big games, Shelburne were a massive powerhouse of League of Ireland football. So I think last year was one step in the right direction. So hopefully this year we can make another and, you know, cement their place up there and be competitive. You know, who knows where the season can go? You know, you could get a good start, or, you know, the team gels well, and, you know, things could go well for us this year. And we've a young, enthusiastic manager and staff, and we also have a lot of experience after being signed and new additions to the squad. So we're in a good place to kick on from here, I feel.
And for the Dubs near team, they get plenty of derbies during the season as well.
Yeah, massively. And it seems like there's no one far away. Even I was talking there, Dundalk will bring a huge crowd down on the second game, and I know it's not a Dublin derby, but it's not a long trip for them either. And obviously we played against Bowes in the FAI Cup last year, and there was some competitive games there. We've Pats and Rovers and everyone else around, so there's some brilliant games there to be enjoyed. And to be honest, we're just looking forward to it. There's nothing for us to fear really this year. You know, the pressure was on us more so last year than it might be this year, and I think we'll surprise a few people. I think we're in a good place. I think we'll take confidence from what we achieved last year, and hopefully we can kick on.
Because it almost seems obvious on the phone, like, you got to try and make a good start for teams who come up. Yeah. You can get into a rut if you don't get a few wins. I'm sure you'd love to get a few wins in the first few weeks.
Yeah, but look, they're harder to come by. Obviously, you know, away to Cork on the opening day is the toughest game as you probably get in the division, then home to the champion second game. So, you know, as much as you want to enjoy it, you know, you need to pick up some points somewhere there too. And we'll be ready and we'll be well prepared. We're confident what we'll be doing. And as I said, it's some of them games, you know, are to be enjoyed. And we did that last year against Bowes in the FAI Cup, and we were 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go, and kind of a refereeing decision. And, you know, maybe a bad couple of minutes for us. We ended up losing the game 3-2. But we felt that night like we were, you know, we were worth our 2-0 lead at the time, and our game plan worked to perfection. So hopefully this year we'll be setting up similar ways at times, and we'll be able to frustrate teams. And we know we've quality to score goals, and we'll obviously try to keep as many clean sheets as we can, and we'll surprise a few this year, and there'll be a few results that I can guarantee you will surprise a few people, and hopefully they come early.
That is Shelburne striker Kieran Kilduff looking ahead to their season back in the Premier League. Great to have four Dublin Premier clubs back in, of course, after UCD were relegated last season, and Shells back up. But of course, UCD, Shells are, should I say, a much bigger club than UCD as well, in terms of, you know, fan base and stuff like that as well. So some great Dublin derbies to look forward to, and we'll have all the bases covered this season on 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday around 25 past 9 or so every Sunday here on 98FM. And the action kicks off today, the President's Cup final, league champions Dundalk against FAI Cup winner Shamrock Rovers, that game at Oriel Park at 3 o'clock. Hopefully the wind hold off for that. And then the return of the greatest league in the world this Friday, four games, 7:45 kickoff at Turner's Cross for Cork against Shelburne. The champions Dundalk welcome Derry to Oriel Park at the same time. While up the road here in Inchicore, Richmond Park hosts St Pat's against Waterford FC. One game at 8 o'clock, Finn Harps against Sligo Rovers. And then the biggest game of the weekend, the biggest game in Irish football, on Saturday at Daelimon Park at 2 o'clock. If it's not sold out already, there's only a few tickets left. It's Bowes against Shamrock Rovers in what will be an unbelievable match, and we can't wait to hear what happens in that one next weekend.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98FM.
Competition time on That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98FM. How would you like to be at Tallaght Stadium on March 5th at 7:15 cheering on the Ireland women's national team who face Greece in a Euro Championship qualifier? Vera Pauw's Chargers are on the road to Euro 2021 in England. We'd like you to join them for their first senior international of the year. Tickets just to tenner at fai.ie/tickets. But we've two pairs to give away to you right now. If you'd like to win, it's nice and simple. Text or WhatsApp, "Come on you girls in green," plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. And on the way next to 98FM, we'll chat to Ireland man James McLean.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Breaking news on 98FM this Sunday morning: the President's Cup final between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers has been postponed. Following discussions with all parties this morning, the FAI, in conjunction with Dundalk FC, has taken the decision to postpone today's President's Cup final in the interest of safety for players, fans and all involved, with the game scheduled for Oriel Park at 3 p.m. Discussions on a new date for the fixture will take place in due course. So if you're a Dundalk fan, or particularly a Shamrock Rovers fan, fan here in Dublin, don't travel to Oriel Park because the game is off. Now, Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, have unveiled a new sensory hub at the Aviva Stadium as part of its long-running sponsorship of the home of Irish rugby and soccer. The Aviva Sensory Hub offers a multi-sensory space to both children and adults and can adapt to the individual needs of each user. It delivers a total sensory management system which reduces sensory overload and disruption. The state-of-the-art booth is free for any fan to use during their visit to the Aviva Stadium. Now, we hoped to bring you our chat with James McLean last weekend, but we had some audio issues, so here it is now. And James speaking to Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy.
I know you're a bit of a home bird and you get back to Derry as much as possible. Is that the plan post-football, to come back home?
That was always the plan. Like, that hasn't changed. The plan was to always finish, you know, what started there, I said. I'm a Derry boy. Love the club. The plan was always they finish it there, so that's still the plan. If they have me, obviously. But
like, what sort of time frame are you putting on that? Is that, because clearly your fitness should be sure you can go on well into your 30s. But do you want to be there in the next 2-3 years when you're still almost at your peak?
Probably not the next 2 or 3 years, because you know I've always had an interest in playing abroad. Like, I've always been fascinated, like, kind of the American way of life, so like loving that. So that was always the plan, they love an American experience, that. So if I can kill two birds with one stone by, you know, going to America, play a year or two there, experience the lifestyle there, come back and, you know, hopefully have still something in the legs to play a year or two or hopefully more at Derry, and then, you know, that would be the ideal plan.
And in terms of what happens next for Irish football and Mick McCarthy leaving and Stephen Kenny coming in, Stephen Kenny give your debut up in Derry?
Hey, Dad. Stephen's unbelievable. Like, I've managed to work under Stephen for 3 years. And
because there were questions at the time as to Stephen's experience levels and how he could command a dressing room. And like, you're in that dressing room. How he could command a dressing room with players.
Let me stop you there, Stephen. Command the dressing room. Don't. Right. Stephen's nobody's fault.
It's the wrong term, the English-born players in the Ireland squad, are they aware of Stephen Kenny?
Probably not. I think it might be a bit more aware considering the job he's doing now and that he's going to be taking over. So, no, but don't get me wrong, like, Stephen's no pushover. Like, Stephen, you're not allowed to happen. He's been absolutely brilliant for my career. I've seen him day-to-day basis and how he works, and, you know, I can only say great things. I've always kept in touch with Steve as well over the years. So, it's a strange situation the way it is, because Mick's obviously a brilliant manager as well, you know. But I guess you'd say the kind of perfect scenario would be we qualify for the Euros. Mick gets the lead the team out at the Aviva and the European Championships. I think he deserves that. It'd be a fitting reward for what he's given the Irish football as a player and as a manager. I think that would be the perfect send off. And then, you know, Stephen's coming in on a high, and, you know, that can only be a positive thing, really.
So the plan is to eventually go back to Derry.
Mm-hmm.
10 years time, what's James McLean doing? Are you still in football? Are you coaching, management?
I hope I'm still playing. I hope I'm still fit enough to play before they land. So
I'm not going to doubt you. if you're just hitting personal best at the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, touch wood, like, stay injury free, and I hope I'm still involved playing. But if I'm not playing, like, I'm doing my badges in the summer, so that'd be nice to have. But, you know, I might want to be a coach or a manager in the future, or be involved in the game, or I might just say, well, for 40 years or what, football's been great to me, and I've had a great time, and I might just say, you know what, I'm going to leave it at that, and I might just swan off on the sunset or in the obscurity and just live a nice peaceful life.
You don't seem to believe that that's going to happen.
Maybe not, no, but we'll see.
So hopefully a few more big days to come at the Aviva before the end of this season. And you were down there today then, launching this new hub with Aviva, the new sensory hub. It's going to be accessible to all fans with sensory issues such as ADHD, dyspraxia, autism. You got a chance to look around and see them. You had your young daughter over with you as well.
I had Will over. She's my youngest. She's autistic, so I had the family over today. I got a call last week saying, look, we're opening a sensory hub here in the Aviva, and obviously we, the way Willow was, would you like to come and open it? And yeah, look, it was an easy yes. Obviously, it's,
what age is Willow?
She's two. So she was 2 in August there. So
she was diagnosed very early?
No, she hasn't been officially diagnosed. Okay. She's seen all her health visitors and that, so she gets officially diagnosed on what stage or how severe it is. She's got the next month or two, she's seeing the specialists about that, so they will be tell us then the full extent of her of where she's at. But
is that a big stress as a dad?
Oh, it's not a big stress. It's definitely a challenge. It's been a challenge for me and my wife. Like, I didn't know much about autism, to be honest. My nephew as well got he's autistic. He's 7, but up until then, like, I didn't have really, you know, didn't know much about it. So, especially, you know, my nephew's obviously back home in Derry, and I've been over here, so I don't see how it is on a day-to-day basis. So with Willow now, I'm learning and experiencing on a daily basis of what it's like, and as she's getting older, she seems to be getting more, things are more of a challenge for us. So no, but like this thing today, like,
has she been to a game yet?
She beats the loads of games. Okay. But she hasn't been to many Ireland games because, you know, it's difficult first. Like, she gets, they bring her on an airplane, she gets so worked up because she's out of her comfort zone, she's in a crowded space, people she doesn't see on a day-to-day basis, you know, she gets very worked up. We look up in a privileged position where maybe they get a box for the Ireland games and for the Stoke home games, where we'll be able to sit inside behind the glass away from the noise, but my wife and children get to watch the games as well. But no, like, this sensory thing today, like, not just for Willow, but for, like, adults who have it, and all our children and parents who are dealing with, you know, children with autism, and they all are, what you just mentioned there, it's a great thing they have, because, you know, when they get so worked up, like, we're able to put in a sensory room at home now for Willow, and
right,
when she gets so worked up, but the difference in her mood from when she's so worked up, they take her into the sensory room, it seems to calm her so much, and like, that'll set her mood for the rest of the day, and where, like, before she goes into the sensory room until afterwards, it's night and day, and it's just it helps her so much. So it's absolutely a great thing what the Aviva's doing and putting it on, and hopefully people who struggle coming to games because of autism and things like that, and hopefully it'll make things a lot easier now for her.
Yeah, obviously it's very much in the news today as well. I'm sure you're probably made aware of that there was some pretty insensitive comments made about autism by one of the politicians earlier today.
I don't know what was said, I just know that there was something that didn't go down well, so I don't really know what.
But you probably touched on one of the issues there, like, you're in a very privileged position, and you can provide all these things for your daughter, and you can see firsthand what a difference it makes, and unfortunately there's very few people who get that opportunity.
You know, it just makes you, it just, like, again, I appreciate the position I'm in, because we're able to, and sometimes you probably don't think about, you know, people probably don't have those luxuries, and, you know, it makes you wonder, like, it must be so difficult, because it's difficult for us, and then, but we're able to, we're in a privileged position where we can put a sensory room in our home for Willow, because it's not cheap. So it makes you wonder, like, what they're going through on a day-to-day basis. So just things like having that now, it's just a release for them as they come to games, and it's not like it's there, so they don't have to pay for it, and it's, you know, they get the full use of it, and you know, I think there should be more, well, it'd be nice if there was more kind of free public kind of rooms or places where they can go, and
because I know there's a lot of supermarkets and shopping centres now are doing evenings where the lights are turned down and the music is turned off, just to make it a calmer environment, but it certainly feels as though we have a long way to go.
Yeah, that's because, look, that'd be absolutely brilliant if that was the case, because I can tell you firsthand, going shopping with Willow, like, it's a struggle, like, if, because you know, she's seeing people she doesn't recognise. She's out of her routine. She's seeing crowds, and you can see her wee body getting so tense, and it's so, like, she gets so worked up, and, you know, we can't kind of control that. Do you know what I mean? And you see people staring, and I've probably been guilty in the past, because I down the kind of just not knowing and kind of ignorance, where you see a child kicking off and kicking and screaming, and
you're looking at the parents
around the front on the floor. You do seem to stare, and you probably judge. But now, like, seeing it yourself and experience it, like, you have a such a better understanding when you see this. You don't judge, because you know what you're going through. And I think a lot of people judge without knowing. So, yeah, I do definitely have experienced, yeah, you know, the having wallowing about in public, and how stressful and how challenging it can be for her and for us.
You seem to have an incredible ability to take things in your stride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that always there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that comes from your kind of upbringing. Mm. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people, to be honest, in Derry, have a kind of a great knack of taking things in their stride. I don't know if that was kind of just bred on this or what, but the way I see it, there's always someone else worse off in your life. So, you know, you can sit and whine all day about your problems and whatnot. Like, I fully understand that I'm in a very privileged position, do you know what I mean? And it's something that I don't take for granted. And I know there's people a lot less fortunate than me. So, yeah, I can sit all day and whine about my problems. But, look, Willow's healthy. She's a happy baby. You know, we're able to give her the best life we can and provide for her. So, no, just because she's of autism doesn't mean she's in it. We love her any less, or we treat her any different from my other two children.
You can watch that full 40-minute chat with James McLean, speaking from the new Aviva Sensory Hub on youtube.com/offthebody. He also speaks about the abuse he gets on a weekly and daily basis almost from English football fans, including another horrible letter sent to him yesterday. So you can read all about that on offtheball.com. Winners of a pair of tickets each for Ireland Greece Women's Euro qualifier are Martin Shields and Francis Edward for his daughter Priya Jean, who sent us this voice note.
Come on, you girls.
Come on, you girls in green. Have a great Sunday, folks. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.